Tonight, I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to start here and then keep your Bibles handy because we're going to look at a couple of accounts here tonight. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, we need to be a good stewards of what God gives us. I heard about a little boy who was in the mall, and when he was in the mall, he found a lady's purse. So, a little boy, being an honest little boy, picked the purse up and he went to Lost and Found. And he turned the purse in. And when he turned the purse in, of course, they paged the woman, looked inside, got her name, paged the lady over the PA system. And she came. The little boy just waited till she got there. And they handed the lady her purse, and she opened up her purse, and she looked inside, which is normal and natural to do. And when she did, she said, "Man, this is strange." She said, "When I lost my purse, I had one $20 bill. Is all I had in it. And now," she said, "there's $21 bills in my purse." And the little boy said, "That is strange. Because the last time I found a lady's purse, she didn't have any change to give a reward." I better read. A very familiar account. Let me ask you, before you stand... how many of you have ever walked into the kitchen cabinets wanting something, open up the kitchen cabinets, look in there, and say, "Man, we don't have anything in this house to eat"? Or go to the refrigerator, open up the refrigerator door, stand there and look, and then shut the door and say, "Man, we need some groceries in this house, man. There's nothing in this refrigerator." Now, really what that usually means, it doesn't mean there's nothing in there. There usually is quite a bit in there. But what that usually means is it's not what I'm looking for. It's not what I want. So the title of this message tonight is, what do you have? What do you have? You know what we usually think about mostly? What we don't have, rather than what we do have. So I want us to look, if you physically are able, would you stand and honor God's Word as I read 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1. We'll just start there. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, 'Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen.' And Elisha said unto her, 'What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?' And she said, 'Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil.'" Let's pray. Father, I pray now you'd bless our time and your word tonight. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Thank you, Lord, for what our eyes have seen in the presentation. And Lord, what our ears have heard and what our hearts have felt already, Lord. Thank you for this faithful missionary, Lord, who has given his life to reach folks there in Japan. And I pray now, Lord, help us to realize, God, that we have been blessed and we need to be a part of reaching souls around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I noticed as I was reading, very familiar passage, but Elisha, this lady confronts Elisha. She's got a problem. She's got bills she can't pay. The creditor's going to take her sons, and back in those days, that's what they could do. They could take your children and work them in order to pay the debt off and make them slaves, so to speak, or bondmen. And so she's fearful that he's going to come and take this. So Elisha simply asked her this question: "Ma'am, what do you have?" Did you see what her answer was? "I don't have a thing in the house." Well, it's kind of like an afterthought. Well, except, well, save this one pot of oil. I do have, but other than that, I have nothing. Now, I kind of thought about that, and I thought this, what God was saying to this lady here through Elisha: you do have something. You have a pot of oil. And I believe when we see, and of course most of you know what Elisha did, he said unto her in verse 3, then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Here's what he said. Ma'am, use what you have. You know, it's not about what we don't have. We can't use what we don't have. Amen? But we can use what we do have. Did you know what? A lot of times, the reason or the excuse that a lot of folks give for not doing something or other is, well, I'm just not able to, or I can't, or I don't have it. And I'm going to tell you something. We overlook what we do have. You know, we have the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Years ago, as a young Christian, I heard a preacher, and he challenged, and he said, I challenge you, go home, get out a pencil. Just start trying to name them one by one. I guarantee you, you'll get tired before you can ever exhaust all the blessings God's given to you. And I'm going to tell you, that's the truth. It's the truth. And so this lady here now, she's in a desperate strait, but watch what happens here. He's saying unto her, ma'am, what do you have? Let's consider what you do have. Let's don't consider what you don't have, but let's use what you've got. Take that pot of oil and bring it before God as such, him being Elisha, the servant of God, and go out and get some empty vessels and then just start pouring out of that one pot into those empty vessels. Can you imagine her expression? Can you imagine her mouth dropping open as she kept pouring out of one pot and kept filling up all these other pots? She found out that what she had was sufficient with God's power and God's enablement. When she used it by faith and obedience, God blessed it. You know what? Whatever we have, if we'll just honor God with it, God will bless it. God will use it in a mighty way if we'll just honor God with what we have. You know, a lot of times, oh, we do things. Have you ever heard this? Well, if I had $1 million, here's what I'd do. But we don't have $1 million. What are we going to do with the $20 we got in our wallet? Or the 10? Or the 5? That's the question. That's the most important. What are we going to do with what we got? We're coming up to faith promise. Well, boy, if I had $1 million, I'd take home million. No. But what about what you do have? Are you willing to honor God with what you do have? That's what it's all about. And so, it's kind of like these two guys. You may have heard the old story about the two old farm boys walking down the road. And as he's walking down, one looked over and he said, Clem, he said, if you good friends, me and you are, he said, Clem, he said, you know what? He said, if you had $1 million, would you give me half of it? Clem said, Fred, you know good friends, me and you are. If I had $1 million, I'd give you half of it. So they walk a little further. He said, Clem, good friends, me and you are, if you had 2 Cadillacs, would you give me one of them? He said, Fred, you know, if I had 2 Cadillacs, good friends, me and you are, I'd give you one of them. Walked a little further. He said, Clem, good friends, me and you are, if you had 2 hogs, would you give me one? He said, Fred, that ain't fair. You know I got 2 hogs. What are you going to do with what you got? That's the question. You see, what do you have? We stop sometimes and we think, well, if I had this, I could do that. But I'm going to tell you, if we'll honor God with our substance, just like this lady did, she obeyed the servant of God when he told her what needed to be done. And basically what he's saying to her, quit thinking about what you don't have and start thinking about what you do have and be willing to honor God with what you do have. I'll never forget, and I think I shared it with you last year when Denise and I first got into church and started serving the Lord, and the preacher was preaching on tithing. And man, I was making $2.20 an hour. The gross was $88 and bringing home $66. And he said, you ought to tithe. You know, that belongs to the Lord. And so we started giving $6.60, and then it wasn't too awful long. He said, preaching, you know, you ought to honor God for you, even honor Uncle Sam and tithe out of the gross. And I thought, wait a minute, I don't even bring that home. That'd be $8.80. And so we gave the $8.80. And then the Faith Promise Mission, the first time I ever heard of it. Had these little cards, passing them out. I remember the pastor said, everybody can do something. You do just what you're able to do and what God tells you to do. And so Denise and I looked at the other and said, you know what? We better just trust God. Let's put $1 on the card. Didn't have to put your name in of it. So we put our first $1 down to give to Faith Promise Missions. And just a few months went by. And I was working my job, and making that $2.20 an hour. And the superintendent came around and he said, Decker, he said, we had a guy that we had to fire upstairs. And he said, have you ever used a spray gun before? And I said, no. And he said, well, it's a better paying job. I said, I always wanted to, though. He said, are you willing to learn? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you'll go to $4.25 an hour. I just praised God. I mean, you know, you say, why? Well, I feel like to this day, I'm convinced, if I hadn't wrote a dollar on that card, if I hadn't honored God, God wouldn't honor me. And we could share testimonies, no doubt, in here tonight, how God honors when we just use what we have. Whatever it is, just honor God with it. This lady took what she had, and she said, I'll just use this. After Elisha said, ma'am, take that pot of oil and trust God and do what I tell you to do with it, and your need will be met. It takes faith, folks. It takes faith to trust and believe God. This woman exercised faith, and she obeyed the man of God. And as a result, God took care of that need in her life. And there was enough oil that she could pay her bill, and then besides have other left over as well. So here's the question. What do we have? With whatever we have, we are to use what we have for the glory and honor of God. Then turn to Mark chapter 6. Go to Mark chapter 6. Here's another familiar account. Not only do we need to use what we have, but we need to do what we're told with what we have. Mark chapter 6, and look in Mark 6 and verse 37. Again, a familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says there, this is the familiar, the feeding here of the 5,000. And we find here that the crowd is huge, and that's 5,000 plus, 5,000 men plus the women and children. And we find that the disciples were ready to send them away because they didn't know how they were going to feed them all. Verse 37, it says, and he answered and said, Jesus speaking, answered unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. You're familiar with the account. Here's what happens. We find that there's this host of people. And Jesus says, feed them. You know what the disciples are looking at? You know what they're thinking about? What they don't have. Look at all these people. I mean, we got 200 penny worth of bread. Well, we don't have enough money to buy enough food to feed all these people. And you know what the Lord said? What do you have? What do you have? We know you don't have enough to buy bread, but what do you have? Well, Lord, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Lord said, that's enough. Have them sit down in companies. Have them get ready for the picnic lunch. Amen? Get them in groups and set them down. And I'm going to tell you what, we know where that came from. Amen? That little lad with his lunch. He took that little lad's lunch and began to bless it and break it, and they began to pass it out. Man, wouldn't you like to have been a disciple on that day? I mean, can you imagine they just keep going back and getting more food and going around passing it out and passing it out and passing it out, and they're saying, where in the world did this come from? They know where it came from. It came from the Lord. He was the one that was doing it. And you know what they did? They did what they were told with what they had. They did what they were told. The Bible says they started, they didn't have the bread and fishes yet, but they obeyed the Lord. They set them down to feed them. What are we setting down for? You're going to be fed. Well, how much food is there? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. I mean, you know, the disciples may have said to themselves, you know, what are we going to do? Well, he said, set them down. Let's set them down and get them ready to eat. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Yeah, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But when it's surrendered to the Lord, the power of God can make it feed all that multitude that day. Because that's the kind of God we got. That's what our Lord can do. It's amazing. When we just willing to obey Him and do what He tells us to do.
You see, the world needs feeding the bread of life. Amen?
Over 6 billion in this world, over 6 billion people. You know what you might say? Well, how in the world can my faith promise reach 6 billion people? Well, yours alone can't. But when we collectively, as individuals, part of the local church, give so Grace Baptist in Madisonville can send the monies out to these missionaries around the country. We're having our conference this week too, and Grace Baptist in Bowling Green, and our people get involved, and whatever it is amount that they promise, and it's sent, and other churches do the same thing. Hey, listen, we can see the gospel going out around the world when we're willing to give, so God will bless it, and God can use it. We can take it, you know, whether it's $10 or $20. And you know, I will say this. Our children, from the time they started in church, you understand, we tried to get them involved in missions. We tried to give them whether it was a dime, whether it was a quarter. You know what? Sometimes they didn't have the dime. You know where they got the dime or the quarter? Dad. But the whole thing is a principle. To understand, honor God, and God will honor you. Honor God, and God will honor you. And in those times when, hey, you're not sure where it's going to come from, you'll see what God can do. You'll see what God can do. How He can feed, how He can set a table in the wilderness. And here is exactly what He did. He said, give what you have and prepare to feed this multitude. And I'm going to tell you, if we'll just give what we have. Several years ago in a missions conference, we had an associate, Joel Prickett. He's now pastor and started a church and pastor in Arkansas. And his little old daughter, by the name of Abby. Abby wanted, this is kind of when them American Girl doll babies come out. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about anyway. I know the ladies and the girls do. And so she wanted one. Well, her daddy told her, you save your money up. If you want an American, is that right? American Girl doll baby. And so she said, save your money up. Well, I understand they're pretty pricey. And so she had been everything she could do to get money, everything when she had her allowance, she putting it back so she could buy this doll baby. We had a missions conference. And we had a missionary there that was just going to the field. And he had mentioned to the fact that he would like, and I can't remember what country it was, but he would like, they had a Bible, and the Bible had English on one page and the foreign language on the other page. And she went to her daddy and she said to her daddy after that missionary mentioned that, Daddy, I'm going to buy a Bible for that missionary. He said, Abby, you know you're saving your money for that doll baby. That's your doll baby money. She said, but Daddy, God told me to buy that Bible for that missionary tonight. Can you take me to the bookstore where I can get it tomorrow? He said, but Abby, I don't think you understand, honey. Now, you've saved this a long time. And he said, oh, me of little faith. And she said, I'll tell you what, we'll see you tomorrow and I'll take you. Well, he figured she'd forget about it. She got up the next morning. She said, after school, Daddy, I got to go to the bookstore and buy that Bible. And she took her money, she got it, and she went and she bought that Bible. And Dad had to give her, she was a few dollars short, and her dad gave her that few dollars and she bought that Bible. That night she came to church. She was just so thrilled that she was able to buy that Bible. And she went up to that missionary after the service that night. And she said, you know, you said you would like to have this kind of Bible. And they had them in our bookstore. And God told me to buy this for you. She told her daddy, she said, as much as I'd like to have that doll baby, I want to see people saved. And she gave that Bible. I'm going to tell you what. Nobody knew that for a while, what would go on, but eventually they did. And somewhere, somehow, you know what she ended up getting? Yeah. The doll came. And she said, Daddy, isn't that just like God? I thought I wouldn't get the doll, but I didn't really care. I wanted to make sure I did what God told me to do. And that little old gal, she was only about maybe 5 or 6 years old at the time, I guess. And I'll tell you something. God worked on this guy's heart through that. How many times are we willing to sacrifice something we really want just to do something for God and to obey God? You see, God spoke to her heart, said, she said,
I've got to do what God tells me to do, Daddy. I've got to do this. I have got to be able to honor and do and obey God's voice. And God blessed her. And you know, that missionary kept writing her letters about using that Bible after he left there. And so I hadn't heard the latest update, and now it makes me want to get a hold of her and find out if they're still in contact with him, since they're in Arkansas. But so take your Bibles, turn to John 21. I'm trying to move along here. John 21. We got to use what we have. We need to obey and do what God says with what we have. And then John 21, this is where Peter and some of the other disciples go fishing. And it says there in chapter 21 and verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And of course, then they recognized who it was. But not only do we need to use what we have, do with it what the Lord tells us to do with it, but we need to make sure that we're following and we're listening to the Lord and doing what we do in order to serve Him. Let me just give you a little analogy of this scripture very quickly here. Here you got some disciples that are disheartened. They're discouraged. They didn't fully understand what all was going to happen and what was taking place when Jesus died on the cross. So they decide just to go fishing. So they pack up and go fishing. They're out there, but notice what they've done. These are professional fishermen, by the way. These are guys that did this for a living before they followed Jesus. And they're out there, and all night long, they caught nothing. You know what? Here's just a thought. I'm so glad that even when we get disheartened and discouraged and might even get out of the will of God, we still got a Lord that knows where we're at, and He loves us and He cares about us. Amen? He knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly what condition. But yet He cared enough about them to go where they were. But He wanted to remind them what can happen when you do something in your own strength and in your own flesh. You know, it won't amount to much if we just try to work it up ourselves. It won't amount to much if we just serve God out of our own flesh and our own strength. We need to be where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. And they're going to learn this lesson out of this, these disheartened and discouraged servants, because when Jesus says, have you any meat? No. Not recognizing then who He is. But He says, well, go ahead and let the net down on the right side of the ship. Can't you just kind of picture what these professional fishermen might be thinking at this time? Well, we fished all night long. I mean, they hadn't got a thing. I mean, we're ready to hang it up and get out of here. But this is the Lord speaking. And man, right where that net goes down, there just happens to be a school of fish there. You know what? They'd fished probably through there and hadn't caught anything. But you know the Lord? I kind of feel like this. He just put them fish right there in that spot at that time. You know, and them old fish was out there all together, just swimming around. And all of a sudden, they just said, hey, we got to swim over here. Why? Well, the Lord said, swim over here. And they all congregated on the right side of that boat right there. And when they let that net down, can you imagine? Fished all night long, nothing. When they started to pull that net up and they couldn't even get it up. The Bible said they couldn't even pull it in. So many fish. And you know what brought? Hey, this has got to be the Lord. This is the only way this is happening. It's got to be the Lord. That's what Thomas said. And we find that Peter then also dove into the water. Hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you something.
We need to make sure that we are obeying the voice of the Lord. And I can tell you, can I maybe put it this way? God has ways of putting special blessings in certain places if we'll just obey Him and do what He says. You know what? They would have never got the fish if they'd have said, well, we're not putting a net down on that side of it. We've already fished. We didn't catch anything. It's a waste of time. No, they had to obey. They had to do what He said. And they had to put it where He said. He didn't say throw it on the left side. He didn't say throw it in front. He didn't say put it on the right side of the boat. And that's where the blessings were. It's kind of like I thought about that with Ruth in Boaz's field. Handfuls on purpose. He said, when you go to taking in that crop, just leave some back there for a Moabitess woman that's coming. Just leave her some handfuls on purpose. Aren't you glad we got a God that knows how to give us handfuls on purpose? Man, I'm going to tell you what a blessing and how He does that sometimes. You know, when we think, well, where's it going to come from? And how is it going to be taken care of? And the Lord has a way of just coming in those times and giving us what they need. And when they get to the shore, He's got a fire going and ready to prepare the fish and to feed them. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad we've got a Lord that knows what we need, and He's the one that's able to supply that need. And He's the one, if we'll just do what He says do and obey and be and do what He wants in our life. What's faith promise all about? Well, this week, Brother Richardson just asked, pray about what God will have you do. You know what? It doesn't make any difference what everybody else is doing. God's got a purpose for you. And He's got a plan for you. And you know what? He may already be speaking to you if you've been praying. Well, here's what I want you to do this coming year in the way of faith promise. Now, I always say, well, you just do what God tells you to do. Just do what God tells you to do. But if you listen to your flesh will say you can't do anything. But that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The reason it's called faith promises is because you do it by faith. As God provides it, I'll give it. If He doesn't provide it, you can't give it. But when He provides it, you have it. I'm pretty sure In that learning thing I shared with you in Scottsfield, but one of those times when my faith was tested, when I was pastoring in Scottsfield, and I didn't have my faith promise. I didn't have it. But I said, Lord, when I get it, it's yours. I just said that morning. When I get it, it's yours. And that day, it was on an Easter Sunday, and that day we went to my brother's house and just moved there, and my family had come down from Louisville. And as I got ready to go for the evening service, my sister stuck something in my suit coat pocket. I knew what it was, but I didn't want to look right then. So I drove out to the end of the driveway, away from the house, and then I stopped, and I took it out of my pocket. And when I took it out of my pocket, it was my faith promise. Once I tithed, it would be my faith promise to the penny. It would take everything that was there. Didn't get a salary that week because there was nothing there to get a salary with, and so headed back to the house, I said, now, Lord, I know what I said, but I don't have any other money, and I may have to have some other things this week. And so, Lord, I'll give it next week, and I'll double it up. And the Holy Spirit said, that's not what you said. You said when you got it, you'd give it. And I said, I know that's what I said, but I kind of spoke hastily, I think, because I really don't have anything, and I need this. And listen, this argument was going back and forth in my mind and in my heart. Sunday evening service came. I would not put it in an offering envelope. I had it in one pocket and the offering envelope filled out in the other pocket, but I didn't put it in there because I was still arguing with the Holy Spirit of God. And it came time for the offering. And the ushers came forward, and they was praying for the offering. And I reached in this pocket and pulled it out, and reached in this pocket and put it in there, licked it, and threw it in a plate. And I preached. And when I got done preaching, one of the men of the church said, preacher, come out on the porch, man. I need to talk to you. We went out there. He said, you know what? While you were preaching, God told me to do something. And I saw him sitting back there writing when he wasn't a note taker normally, but he was sitting back there writing. And he said, so don't argue with me. While you were preaching, God told me to give you this because I know things have been lean. And he stuck it in my pocket. He had filled out a check while I was preaching. By the way, while I was preaching was after the offering. And it was 10 times what I had put in the offering. And you'll never convince me to this day that if I'd have hung on to that offering, that's all I'd have had. God was just waiting to see, are you going to do what you said? Are you going to listen to me? Are you going to honor me with what you have? Are you going to use it like you said and give it? And I'm going to tell you what, again, not only I, but I'm sure around this room, we could give testimony after testimony how God has done that in your life. How he's come through in those times in ways that you just can't explain it. There's no way. You can't explain it. It can't be put on pencil. Can't take a pencil and put it on paper and list it how God does it. And then I'll give you one more, and I'll just give it to you very quickly. And you know the story, 2 Samuel 17. And I'm just going to mention David right here. And David goes over there, the giant's out there. And David comes out, and Saul wants to put his armor on him. And David says, I haven't tried this, but I got a sling. What you got, David? You got a sword? You got an armor? No, I got a sling. What are you going to do? I'm going to use what I have for the Lord. He knew how to use that sling. Got him 5 smooth stones. And you know what he did? He used what he had in the name of the Lord of the host of the armies of Israel. He walked out there with what he had by faith and said, this will be sufficient with the power of God behind it. You know what? God honors faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And when we act upon faith and we're willing to take God at His word and we're willing to trust Him, we can see what God can do. And David continually, we won't go there and read, but David continually let it be known that his God was going to give him the victory. His God was going to provide for him. His God was going to deliver Goliath that day. And so he went out there with what he had by faith, trusting God, to do the work with that low sling. Now here's the question. Are we going to use what we have to glorify and honor God? Are we willing to step out by faith and trust God and do what He wants us to do? Notice in every one of these situations, number one, it was not a selfish thing they did. It always benefited others. And number two, whenever they acted upon faith, God always blessed. God always blessed. And you know what? I can't think of anything more involved in benefiting others than Faith Promise Missions. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Andrew sings a song called Faces. And that song's about when we get to heaven and we're standing in heaven. There'll be some faces there that we may never have seen. But Jesus will show us their faces because we had a part in them being saved. You know what? He showed pictures up here of people saved in Japan just a moment ago. You know that lady he pointed to and said, this lady got saved in that church. Bible says that's fruit that abounds to your account because you've supported him and been over there. You had a part. You've never met that lady in person, but let me tell you, one day you will. One day you will. That's what I love about missions. I can't go there, but I can be a part of letting somebody else go there. And then God says, we're going to reap because of it. We're going to reap because of being a part of Faith Promise Missions. I love Faith Promise Missions. I've been involved in it ever since that first dollar on that card. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't think you can ever outgive God. I know you can't outgive God. And the more we do, I'm going to tell you, the more we're laying up in store in heaven as well. It's rewards that cannot be lost. And so tonight, here's the challenge. What do you have? It's not what you don't have. Don't worry about what you don't have. You can't do anything with what you don't have. Well, what are you going to do with what you do have? Will you put it in the hands of God? Will you trust Him like the lad's lunch to multiply it? Will you be willing to let Him have control of your life and say, Lord, if that's what you say, I'll just do it. I'll trust you. I'll do it. And then allow God to work His mighty power and see what He can do with what we have. Whatever it is, honor God with it. God bless you.